Corning Church on the Hill with the Lawson family, and this morning we'll be reading from 1 Peter 3, 8, 9, and 14, 15.
Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing.
But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
Now grab your notes as we usher you to listen to Scott's message this week.
Welcome to our final week of Threat, Time for Courage. In this series called Threat, we wanted to recognize that we live in threatening times. I mean, the threats each of us face, they might be a little bit different, right? Some of you are in the middle of a job threat. You're not sure the workplace you're going to be going back to. Other people, maybe it's a relationship threat. There's people that you have not seen in a long time and you really want to. Or maybe the relational threat is the fact that you've been trapped with these people that you love, but they're driving you a little bit crazy, right? Or there's a financial threat. There's some of you that I know are probably waiting for a stimulus check and hoping on that. I know some of you, the health that you have right now feels like a big threat to you. You're never quite sure where the virus is or if you're like, oh, am I getting sick? And listen, all of us are dealing with this threat right now. There's a general anxiety that is going just through the roof for us, and it feels like this threat. And so here's what we want to do. During this time, we've just asked us, just check your heart to see how your heart is responding so that you can find courage. And so week one, we're going to find courage by united prayer and just general compassion towards one another. And then week two is this. It was about mourning our loss. In mourning, we find strength to face future threats. And also recognizing that God never stops working, even when it's difficult, in difficult times. So today, I have just one simple point for us, only one thought for you to grab onto, but it's going to take us a moment to get there. Jim Collins wrote one of the most popular leadership books of all time in the book Good to Great, Why Some Companies Make the Leap and Others Don't. In his book, he interviewed Admiral James Stockdale, who had been a prisoner for 8 years in Vietnam. Jim Collins, he wanted to know this. How did some of the prisoners survive and the others didn't survive the threat of violence? So Jim Collins asked him one question. Who didn't make it out? And James Stockdale said, well, that's really easy. The ones who didn't make it out were the optimists. They thought, surely we'll be out by Christmas, and Christmas came and Christmas went. Surely we'll be out by Easter. They made the adjustment, but Easter came and Easter went. Then they thought, well, maybe we'll be out by Thanksgiving for sure. Well, Thanksgiving blew by, and pretty soon it was Christmas again. He said that those people died of a broken heart. But those who survived, they were able to do two things. Here it is. These two principles that people live by, they eventually became known as the Stockdale principle. And it was this. Number one, retain faith that you will prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties. Retain faith that you'll prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties. It's this maintain hope that eventually it will turn out right. And here's the second thing. At the same time, confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. So here they are. Retain hope that you'll win in the end. Second, confront how tough it is right now. Can I suggest something to you? This principle, I think, applies to us today. God will make a way out of this quarantine. God will make a way out of the financial loss that people have experienced. God is in the business of making a way forward for people. But number two, the worst is yet to come. This is not over by a long shot. Listen to this. Companies have not yet right-sized their losses by downsizing their teams. People, some of them, have not yet blown through their savings, but they will. We haven't seen the end of the COVID-19 virus. We will probably all know someone who has gotten sick or passed away from this virus by the time it's all said and done. The Stockdale principle says that the optimist who thinks, hey, you know, we're going to be back at church, hugging each other in just a few weeks. They think they're going to go back to work from the staycation that they've been having at home. And the economy is going to be just like it was before. Those people will lose courage when things get difficult. So here it is. Brace yourselves. Brace yourselves for it to be hard, but never give up hope, though God will meet you in the midst of it and make a way forward. Do you know why people trust the wisdom of people like Admiral James Stockdale? It's because of his experience. His perspective we call wisdom because he had 8 years of being in prison and facing hardship. He has life experience to back up his opinion. So I want to introduce you to another man who knew what it was like to be in prison, who knew firsthand what it was like to have his courage challenged and live under threat. So I want to introduce you to him so that we can look at his words about how he faced threats and take his perspective and glean his wisdom. The guy's name was Peter, and you'll find his story in Acts chapter 12. So if you have a Bible, open your Bible up and go to Acts chapter 12. Peter sat in the prison cell, and he was wondering if he would ever get out. I mean, he was not overly optimistic of his freedom. Honestly, he was probably thinking, this is it. My life is over. Here's why. He had a really good friend, one of his best friends, a guy he'd grown up with. He was a fishing buddy. His name was James. If you've ever read one of the Gospels, it's always Peter, James, and John. They had been through so much together, particularly in the last 15 years. See, in those 15 years, they had met Jesus, followed him around for 3 years. And then to their horror, they watched Jesus die on a cross. Only 3 days later to turn around and celebrate his resurrection because they were talking to him. And these three, Peter, James, and John, were now the core leaders in the new church for the last 12 years. Until yesterday. Yesterday, James had been in this same prison where Peter now was, when the Roman ruler, this King Herod, sent his soldiers to his cell, and with one big swing of the sword, James was dead, his head cut off. When the public learned about James's death, they actually celebrated and praised the king, and because Herod was such an egomaniac, he decided that he was going to have Peter arrested and determine his fate. See, he's hoping to garner even more support from the people by doing what to Peter what he did to James. So here Peter is. He's sitting in this cell with little to no hope of making it out alive. Inside his cell with him were four soldiers. On the other side of the gate, there were four more soldiers. Down at the end of the hall, entering into this prison area, there's four more soldiers. Outside the prison gate, there's four more soldiers, 16 soldiers, all to guard a fisherman. This was the greatest threat that the church had known to date. The church has been around for more than a decade, and Peter was the key figure. I mean, obviously, besides Jesus, right? And people always look to him for wisdom and leadership. So I want you to take a look at this. How did the church respond to this threat? You're in Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Here's what it says. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Don't forget this. When your life gets challenging, let God's people come around you and pray so that God can write the next chapter of the story. Pause for a minute. Do you need somebody to pray for you? Do you need somebody to pray with you? Every week, we keep making it known. Just email us at info@churchonthehill.com. We want to be available for you so you're not alone, so that we can pray for you and pray with you. Maybe you have a Christian friends or family members in your life, and they're praying for you and with you. That is fantastic. But let me just say this. I think sometimes we get this perspective that, you know, we need to heroically go the road by ourselves, that we don't need anybody to pray with us or pray for us. Can I just say this? That just means you're alone. Yes, God is with you, but there's this sense that the church gathers together to pray for each other. If we can be an encouragement to you, please contact us and we'll give you a call. info@churchonthehill.com. Don't be alone in this. We would love to pray for you so that your courage doesn't fade. Let's go back to that cell where Peter is sitting. It is nighttime. Peter's leaning up against the wall, chained on his left, chained on his right. There's one soldier on his left and one soldier on his right. And Peter is, he's asleep. Peter's sleeping. And in the middle of the night, he feels this, a kick in his side. He must have been thinking, stupid Roman guard, and turned over the other way. And he feels it in the other side. But this time he hears this, Peter, quick, get up. Let's go. And apparently Peter was not really much of a morning person. He's groggy, half asleep. You non-morning people, you know what I'm talking about. And he thinks he's halfway dreaming because the person who had nudged him in the side was this angel. And I don't pretend to know what that looked like. But the angel says to Peter, put your shoes on. We're getting out of here. And they got up and they started walking out of the cell. And as they got to the door just opens. I mean, every door that they had to go through just miraculously opened in front of them. And before Peter knew it, he's standing on the dirt road outside the prison where 16 soldiers were asleep inside so that he couldn't get out. I mean, in that moment, he must have giggled like a little girl just thinking about how funny this was, how God rescued him. He was free. And one of the first thoughts he had was, I have to go see my friends. And typically, they would hang out at Mary's house. And now, Peter didn't know this at the time, but he was in prison. There were people at Mary's house who had gathered there to pray for him, praying that he would be released, praying for a miracle. So Peter, he hustles on over to the house, and he knocks on the door. And eventually, this housemaid comes to the door to answer and says, who is it? Peter responds with, it's me, Peter. And the housemaid's shocked, so she runs back to the group that says, hey, Peter's at the door right now. And they're like, stop it. That's not funny. We're praying for Peter right now to be released from prison in Jesus' name. She's like, he's at the door. How do you know? I recognize his voice, and he said, hey, it's Peter. Like, well, where's he at then? She's like, oh, snap, forgot to let him in. She runs back to the door, no joke, lets him in. He comes in, and the scriptures record their response. Chapter 12, verse 16. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were, here's the word, astonished. We were praying for you, but we never thought God would actually do something about it. Oh my goodness. I find such great comfort in these words that there were people like me who have prayed for big things but failed to expect that God might do something about it. Have you ever been there? Maybe you never even prayed for those big things because you just didn't ever think that God would ever show up and show off. In the last 3 weeks, we've gone through this book, 21 Days of Breakthrough Prayer. Can I ask you a question? How have your expectations been? How have your expectations been to pray for big things and expect that God might step into your world with his favor? Can I just encourage you in this? I mean, Peter would tell you these words. There will be moments of loss, but when you pray, there'll also be moments of great victory. So pray with expectation. Remember, I told you that we have this high respect for people who have faced difficult threats, and we tend to believe their opinion about how to deal with difficulty. So Peter is that guy who is familiar with threats, familiar with how to respond in a Christian way when life gets threatening. And here's what he said. If you have your Bible open, I want you to open to 1 Peter chapter 3. What I'm about to show you, this is a letter written by Peter who understands suffering, loss, threats, and having courage in the face of it. So let me say this. If any of you have been dealing with a really difficult season, your anxiety is high, the threats of life are big, can I just encourage you this week, read 1 Peter. Just read through that letter again and again and again. Here's why. Every chapter is filled with something about hardship and suffering. And Peter, because his experience, we're going to read his words and understand that there is such a deep wisdom to what he has to say. So here we go. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He writes, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Jump down to verse 14, halfway through it. It says, "Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have." But listen to his final words. "But do this with gentleness and respect." Let me summarize Peter's advice. Have unity. Be sympathetic. By the way, this is such a huge bit of wisdom for us right now, because people right now in a pandemic season, they don't need you to motivate them by pushing them. They need you to listen. To listen to what's going on and sympathize with their pain. I know for some of you, if you're wired a little like me, you might be thinking, so I'm supposed to let them just whine? Yes, for just a little bit. Not for long, though, because there's also a moment where you can encourage them to make changes about what they can control, like love one another. Peter goes on to say, be compassionate. Be humble by considering their needs first. And then Peter does this, and I don't like it, because he then pushes the extreme limits of our love. And I don't like it because it's difficult, but he does it because Jesus pushed the extreme limits of Peter's love. Here's what he says. He says, I want you, don't act out of fear. I want you to take people who mean you harm, and I want you to turn around and bless them. Don't fear them, but respect Christ more, so that you can set aside your anger, fear, and agenda, and you can pick up the agenda of Christ. And you respond with this, gentleness and respect. These are the words of a man who had a PhD in threatology. This is the wisdom of a sage, the Yoda, of how to deal with danger. And this is his thesis, his mantra, his life's summary, how to respond when life gets threatening. So if you have a pen, grab your pen. I want you to write this down. Take out your phone. You might put these digits in your phone at this moment. Make a note of this. You're probably going to want to make a t-shirt of this. You might even make it your next tattoo, because this next bit of wisdom is amazing. Here it is. When life gets threatening, here's Peter's mantra. It's a summary of all that we just read. His wisdom is this. Ready? Be kind. That's it. I know it feels like what your mama used to tell you when you were in the third grade. Like, just be kind to people. I mean, how is that advice of a masterclass follower of Jesus? See, I never said it was complicated. It's just really difficult. It's simple, but I want you to think about how difficult it is with these questions. How kind are you in the workplace when the threat level rises, when the project's not going well, when cutbacks come? How kind are you? How kind are you when people confront you that you've messed up? How kind are you when people in public are rude or selfish to you? How kind are you when your family takes you for granted? How kind are you when you don't get invited? How kind are you when the neighbor lets his dog poop on your lawn for like the 100th time? I mean, how kind are you? How kind are you when you thought, man, surely somebody would call me by now, and they haven't? How kind are you to the person that you see who's struggling financially or emotionally? Peter's wisdom, handed to him by Jesus, is simple. Be kind. But I think the reality is that we struggle to be kind when life gets threatening. For two reasons. I have this theory about why we're not very good at kindness, and here it is. Our culture idolizes power and image, not kindness. Here's what I mean by power. We want to feel like we are in control of our circumstances. We idolize people who are in control, who make things happen for themselves, who they're self-sufficient. We don't really trust other people. Our trust in others is low, so we don't want to depend on them for anything. We want control of our world because we need to look out for ourselves, because if we don't look out for ourselves, who will? But see, Peter was taught differently, and he knew better. His best friend, his Savior, he taught him that their Heavenly Father cared deeply for them and would always be with them and care for them. So they didn't have to be in control because he was in control. That's power, image. We aren't good at kindness because we're more concerned about our image. We get concerned with how we're going to look to people, how they might take our act of kindness. We don't want to appear foolish. We don't want our egos to break. I mean, our egos, honestly, are fragile, and we get easily offended. So we hesitate to show kindness. But Peter knew different. He was trained differently by Jesus. He knew such a generous love from God that it actually changed him. Mother Teresa, she exemplified this kind of kindness. She moved into one of the worst areas of India to love people that nobody else wanted. And she described what she found when she moved back to the, or came back and visited the United States. Here's what she wrote. The same thing is missing in the lands of plenty as in the lands of poverty. Compassion. Maybe they are starved for bread in Africa, but you are starved for love in the United States. Wow. My kids introduced me to this guy by the name of David Dobrik. They introduced me as far as introducing his YouTube videos to me, right? He's a comedian and personality that made it big on YouTube, and he made a lot of money. Now, he is also having a lot of fun with his money by giving it away. So he and his staff and friends, they rent an RV down in Los Angeles and drive through the city of Los Angeles, but they pack their RV with PS4s, iPads, and Frisbees with, on the underside of the Frisbee, they would tape five $100 bills. And they would go around in the poor neighborhoods of town handing out a free iPad, a free PlayStation for a Frisbee. They'd open the door to the RV and throw a Frisbee to people. And they'd be like, oh, cool, got a Frisbee. And like, no, turn it upside down. And they're like, whoa, no way. Like, unbelievable. One of the things that they would have fun doing is they made these T-shirts with his vlog on there. And what they would do is they would take a check and they would write a check and then roll it up in the T-shirt, then take the T-shirt, bound it, and then they put it in this like T-shirt shooting gun where you launch it and it launches out into people. So they would go find these folks and they would launch a T-shirt at them. They would catch it. How fun it must have been. And I've watched this on videos, but how fun it is for someone to receive this. And how surprised they are when they unroll it to find a check and inside a check for $10,000. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a whole lot of fun to me. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, how great it must be to have that much fun because you're that rich, right? But it was interesting. I was reading on the app just this morning, the Nextdoor app. I mean, you probably have one of those Nextdoor apps in your neighborhood. And a 90-year-old woman was thanking her neighbors on the app. First of all, impressive that a 90-year-old woman is on this app. But second, she was thanking them for mowing her lawn. See, her gardener had been cited in the city because he shouldn't have been working during this time, and it wasn't an essential service, and he wasn't willing to risk coming out again and being fined, and so her yard was looking really rough. So her neighbors, without asking or without being told, just went over there and mowed her lawn for her. How much fun is that? Kindness towards somebody else is just fun. So here's where I want to land this week. Peter's advice to Christians during threatening times, he goes through all those verses to really summarize this, just be kind. So here's what I want to invite you to do this week. Don't worry about your control. Don't worry about your image. I want to invite you to be kind. And kindness this week can be fun. So here it is. Today, tomorrow, for the rest of the week, I dare you to have a little bit of fun. I dare you to have a little bit of fun by showing kindness to people. Maybe it's kindness to a stranger. Maybe it's kindness to those people that you are trapped with right now. Have fun. Show kindness. And see what it does to your heart and the courage that it gives you. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. God, thank you for your kindness to us. God, I didn't deserve how good you've been to me, and I'm so grateful for the family that you've given me, the friends, the job, the money, the influence, the church that you have blessed me with. I am so grateful for the love and forgiveness that you've shown me. So God, help us this week take our eyes off ourselves and embrace this kindness that you're driving us towards. And as we do, God, help us to celebrate it and have fun with it. Thanks for how much you love us and care for us. And I pray for those who are struggling right now with any kind of anxiety in this season. God, give them courage to be kind. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.